101 Nobel laureates, including the Dalai Lama, have called on world leaders to stop the expansion of fossil fuels, including oil, gas and coal. The appeal comes as 40 world leaders, including Scott Morrison, prepare to attend the US President Joe Biden's virtual climate summit overnight. In a public letter, the Nobel laureates say governments have lagged behind what the science demands and they urge world leaders to act immediately. Professor Peter Doherty has signed that letter. He is a Nobel laureate. Peter Doherty, welcome back to Breakfast.
Great to be on, Farron.
Peter, in this letter, you and the others describe the climate change crisis as the great moral issue of our time. Why frame it as a moral issue rather than a scientific issue?
Because it involves human behaviour and human judgments and making moral judgments about what the world is going to be like for our children and grandchildren. And of course, Nobel laureates don't. They're not given Nobel Prizes for morality. They're given Nobel Prizes in my area for science. And we're operating in our thinking from the science. So it's based in science, but that's simply how it really stands. And that's how we will be seen if we continue down the road of policies, which will increase fossil fuel production.
I want to come to your message, but just this process of this letter, because 101 Nobel laureates is quite a statement. It's laureates in peace, literature, medicine, physics, chemistry, and economic science. How much collaboration was there in this statement? Was there much discussion, or was it just something that you all have a fundamental, foundational belief in anyway, so you were happy just to put your signature to?
I certainly wasn't involved in discussions, but I've been involved for some years now in Nobel-badged symposia that are directed at the issue of climate change and sustainability. There have been four Nobel symposia, not actually by the Nobel Foundation, but associated with Nobel and the goals that have addressed this issue. I attended two of them because I've been in writing about this and working with climate scientists to try and get messages out for some years now. My field is obviously medical research, and for the last year, I haven't been focusing on any of this because I've been totally focused on COVID. But
we've been very grateful for that, can I say?
Yeah, I saw the Four Corners program last Monday a week ago, and I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, it just sounded insane.
Well, that goes to the great call from this letter from the laureates, which is the letter says allowing the continued expansion of this industry is unconscionable. It's, you know, the key, clear message is keep fossil fuels in the ground. How do we do that if 120% more coal, oil and gas will be produced by 2030 than is consistent with the Paris target to limit global warming to 1.5%?
Yes, I mean, it's not consistent with the goal to limit global warming. That's obvious. So we have to get off this in some way. We have competing forces here. We have the self-interest of the fossil fuel producers and nations like ours that do produce fossil fuel. And our government perceives it in our self-interest to produce and sell more of this stuff across the planet. Of course, it doesn't matter where it's produced. What matters is when it's burned anywhere on the planet, it drives global warming. So many of us think they are completely wrong in perceiving this as in Australia's self-interest. Firstly, as the planet tries to get off fossil fuels, we're positioning ourselves for a future that really is unsustainable and will eventually lead to a lot of stranded assets. Also, what is this going to do to our national security situation in the long term? I mean, it's easy to see other countries. We love blame games, you know, and it's easy to see other countries as being highly responsible. Now, Australia is a much easier target for any type of retaliation that could occur than, say, China or the United States or Russia.
I just interviewed the Energy Minister, Angus Taylor, who effectively accused me and part of my questioning of basically declaring war on the fossil fuel industry. Now, your letter, the Nobel laureates are not calling for a complete switch to renewable energy sources immediately, but for fossil fuels to be phased out. The Prime Minister has announced $1 billion for low emissions technology. Do you agree there's some place for fossil fuels in our energy mix if there is investment in clean technologies like carbon capture and storage, for instance, or green steel or clean clean hydrogen, which is what I had a discussion with the minister about?
Well, green steel has nothing to do with carbon capture and storage. It's basically green steel is presumably using green hydrogen, which would be from water and could well be produced by renewables. If it's produced by coals, coal is just like any other fossil fuel. The green hydrogen proposal is about blue hydrogen, and I think we could legitimately regard that, and even with some enthusiasm, because it could get a hydrogen export industry going, we could legitimately regard that as a transition phase. What you do here is you split hydrogen off from methane, natural gas, or from coal gas, like the old gas we used to use to light houses, and you bury the carbon. That carbon is very concentrated, and many engineers and so forth, I've been to symposia on this, say it can be buried. The only worry about it, though, is that they've been trying to do that with the Gorgon project in Western Australia. A lot of CO2 comes off with natural gas. The CO2 just goes straight into the atmosphere. Nobody talks about that.
Well, that's right. That's what I was trying to talk to the minister about. He says we can produce, it's not green hydrogen, but it's clean hydrogen because it can be produced with fossil fuels, but the emissions captured, zero emissions.
Yes, and that may work. I mean, there are plans in Victoria for doing that, but it should be a transition phase as we transition to green hydrogen. On the other hand, on the television also, I saw Twiggy Forrest the other night, and he's talking about green hydrogen for his operations. Mm. Now, we can't control what happens anywhere else on the planet. We don't control what happens in China or India or anywhere else. But we can control the fact that we don't just produce a lot more stuff and put it out there to be burnt.
Ahead of Joe Biden's Leaders Summit, which kicks off tonight, the EU has set tougher emissions targets for 2030 and 2050. The US is expected to announce a target of 50% cut on 2005 levels. Scott Morrison joins this summit with no change to our Paris climate pledge of a cut to 2005 levels by 26 to 28%. He comes to the table with this $1 billion plan for developing low emissions technology and research. So it's a plan, not a pledge. Do you think that's good enough? And do you think we should be given a pass on that around the table?
Yes, I mean, that's obviously up to the political leaders. But basically, it's a question. I mean, if we're really intent on going to low emissions and stopping the progress of global warming, we have to stop burning fossil fuels. Nobody thinks that can happen overnight, or maybe 10 years, 20 years. But we should, if we're going to use gas, we should be using it in a phase-out mode. And there should be a clear plan. We're not just doing that, though. We're putting hundreds of millions of Australian tax dollars into this gas business. And that's nuts. I mean, we could be using those hundreds of millions for other purposes to try and get our energy sector on a clean basis. The gas doesn't give a lot of jobs. It's about, I think, about 0.4 jobs per millions of productivity compared with, say, 10 in the health or education sector. It doesn't give massive numbers of jobs, and it won't give us cheap gas. All the cheap gas has already been sold overseas. There are no price controls going on gas that's burned here from the Australian government. We don't believe in this type of political philosophy. Doesn't believe in price controls. We should be pricing carbon. And many big Australian companies have been calling for a price on carbon for years. They've been calling for clear guidelines on clean energy investment. The private sector will not invest in gas, which is why we're pumping money into it from our tax base.
We will not have a price on carbon, according to Scott Morrison. It's technology, not taxes. That's the slogan. But we are reducing the amount of energy in our electricity mix, in particular, that we get from coal-fired power stations. We're not, however, reducing the amount of coal we are digging up. We are exploring and digging up and exporting. We're the world's second largest coal exporter. Do you think that needs to change? Is it time for governments to stop issuing new coal licences?
I certainly think we should be phasing out of fossil fuel productions. We can't do it overnight. We have to find transitions. We have to find transitions in jobs for people. We have to try and find transitions in opportunity. So it's a slow process. It can't happen overnight by any means. But if we focus on that and we're led by able, smart people, we can do those things. What really annoys me is the thought that basically we do this and then we just leave it up to the market. We need leadership in this area. You cannot tackle this problem without major policy change and major policy initiatives. They have to come from government. It's not just...
Well, the government's announcing policy, but it's policy around technology and research. Do you say they need targets? Are you saying we need tougher targets?
Let's drive policy around research and technology, but we also need tough targets that actually force the issue and allow companies who should be doing this. We don't want government doing it. We want companies doing it. We want business doing it. We want entrepreneurs doing it. That allow them to set clear goals and know that the rules are not going to change. And that's where we have a massive failure of leadership in this country.
Peter Doherty, before I let you go, can I ask you about another issue, the issue you have been working on over the last year, which is the COVID virus and the vaccine rollout, developing vaccines. You're ahead of the Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity. The Victorian government has just announced yesterday committed $50 million to kickstart domestic manufacturing of mRNA vaccine technology. So we'll be able to produce it here in Australia. That will take at least a year, is the suggestion. I mean, plenty of people saying, well, we should have started this a year ago, that may be, but we are where we are. Should other state governments step up and match that investment, or should this be led by the federal government, do you think?
I'm not the head of the Doherty Institute.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry, Peter.
I'm the patron.
The patron of it.
I'm actually the junior journalist on their public communications team. The head of the Institute is Sharon Lewin.
Of course she is. I beg your pardon.
Who you all know. And yes, I think it's fantastic that the Victorian government has announced this. It would be silly to have parallel developments going on right across the country. We need the national government to come into this, maybe through their national cabinet. And discussions around the National Cabinet about how this should be done. It'll take a lot more than $50 million to do this. This is pretty expensive, but it's a great investment because from what we can see about these mRNA vaccines, is what we're talking about, these are going to be the vaccines of the future. They're fantastic vaccines. They've never been used before this, and they're working extremely well. And with COVID, it's extremely likely that we're going to see mutant strains emerge, and we are seeing the mutant strains emerge at the moment the vaccines are holding them, but we will see more mutants emerge with time that will require further vaccines.
Okay.
And so if we can produce those here in, say, 12 months' time, even 2 years' time, I think we'll still need them. And the planet needs the vaccines too. I mean, we're trying to vaccinate everyone on the planet, so we could be producing these things and getting them out to other parts of the world as well. And I think this is the future, say, of influenza vaccines and a lot of other vaccines.
Okay. Peter Doherty, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Nobel laureate Professor Peter Doherty.